This is an ABC podcast.
Take five.
The people you love play five songs they love and tell you why.
The first time I heard Stella Donnelly, I knew she was a star. The song was Mechanical Bull. She had an EP titled Thrush Metal. All of it intrigued me.
I'm gonna throw you all off me like a mechanical bull. Then you'll be sorry. I'm gonna throw you all off me like a mechanical bull. Then you'll be sorry. I need to be alone.
Then I saw her live, and the heavy weight and brutal honesty of her songs made way for comedy interludes in her banter, even cabaret, while she performed. There's more to Stella Donnelly than meets the eye. For all of these reasons, I've long wanted her to take five. Her music has given many a sense of community, a home. So I wanted Stella to tell me about the songs that belong for her, and if she remembered the first time she ever felt that connection.
Yeah, definitely. I think all the next five songs definitely make me feel that way. I remember feeling a very strong sense of home as a child in Wales, and also the same feeling here in Australia listening to Australian artists. So I'm very lucky to feel like I belong in two different musical worlds.
All right, well, we're going to hear those stories and travel through those lands over the next five songs. You grew up, as you said, in Perth and also in Wales. Was music a big part of your childhood in both of those places?
Absolutely, yeah. It was a huge part. I was singing in chapel on Sundays in Wales, and we're singing in Welsh and Welsh hymns. And music is just part of our landscape there, and it gives us our connection to the land and the cultures and the history of our people. So that's a massive part of my life. But my dad, being Australian, is a musician, and he plays a lot of music and writes a lot of songs as well. So I have that Australian connection. And so when we moved back to Australia, the music didn't stop, thankfully.
Yeah, amazing. I definitely want to hear about these Welsh choirs. Mm. I think that's going to be a little teaser of what we have on the cards. Yeah. Stella Donnelly takes five with us. Songs That Belong is the theme that we've given you. Music, I guess, that makes you feel like you've found your tribe. And I feel like that's something that's deep within all of us, that moment where the switch is flicked and all of a sudden we're like, oh, okay, I'm home. This is where I belong. And we're going to start with an absolute classic and someone who I know is a big hero of yours, going all the way back to 1988, the one and only Billy Bragg. Valentine's Day is over.
Valentine's Day is over. It's over.
Of all the Billy Bragg songs, why this one, Stella?
Well, there are just some songs and some artists that you don't have a choice, you don't have a choice to listen to. I was brought up with this music, so I absorbed it, you know, without consent, really, but that's okay.
Billy Bragg was forced into your ears.
Yes, exactly,
as a child.
Exactly. So, you know, my dad had this Workers' Playtime record on cassette and would listen to it constantly. And I found that Billy Bragg has always been able to kind of weave these amazing stories using commonplace words to explain like toilsome and complex relationships and stuff like that. And this record, finds a beautiful balance between political and relationships and emotional turmoil. And this particular song I chose is because he's written it from the perspective of what I've see is the perspective of a woman who is in a relationship with a drunken, violent gambling addict. And, you know, it's very empathetic of him to write this song. And he plays it so simply with an electric guitar and a piano, and it's just beautiful.
When I was looking into this song, because it's not one that I was super familiar with, but reading about it, it of course made me think immediately of the moment where you became a lightning rod for so many people when you wrote Boys Will Be Boys and you articulated the experiences of many women.
Why was she all alone? Where in her shirt that low? And then
What does that feel like as a songwriter to write a song that was clearly so personal to you and to your very close community and then have it become such a big moment for so many people that you'd never met before?
It was surreal. It was really surreal, given that I wrote the song with zero expectations of it going beyond my small community. So it was just something that I felt very comfortable writing about in a way because of growing up on Billy Bragg's music. He's able to touch on, you know, difficult topics and try and educate in that way. So it was something that felt safe to write at the time, and I'm glad I was in a safe position in my life to write that, because I don't think I was prepared for the kind of public awareness of the song. But I was so honoured that people picked it up and cherished it as their own. So yeah, it was a very scary honour.
Listening to your record again, as I was getting ready to chat with you today, there's never a moment where I don't listen to that song and I'm completely on the floor. It's just such an astounding piece of work. And this song from Billy Bragg, I thank you for introducing me to, because we're going all the way back many, many years to 1988.
Thank you for the things you bought me. Thank you for the card. Thank you for the things you taught me when you hit me hard. That love between two people must be based on understanding. Until that's true, you'll find your things all stacked out on the landing. Surprise, surprise, Valentine's Day is over.
This next choice is Courtney Barnett with Lance Jr.
I masturbated to the songs you
One hell of an opening line in that song. Stella Donnelly chose it in her Songs That Belong, Take Five. Can you remember the first time you heard that? Because I can certainly remember the first time I heard it. Went,
absolutely. And I think for me, this connects so well with the Billy Bragg song, because I think it had been about 15 years since music made me feel that way that Billy Bragg had, and it was just such a commonplace way of talking about life. And I was driving in my first car back to my parents' house, which is where I was still living at the time, and I just remember hearing that first line and I almost drove off the road. I was just like and I had to pull over and just turn it up, because I needed to hear every single word of that song. I just think it was just so earnest, sarcastic and undisguised in the lyrics, and in the way that, you know, Billy Bragg has that simplistic electric guitar sort of thing just carrying the song, and Courtney's song certainly did that too, and that just launched me into the world of Courtney Barnett, really. Yeah, I couldn't get enough after that, and I still can't.
She doesn't waste a word on this song, but I also, in thinking about like her, you know, new record that just came out now 8 years later and everything that she's put out between now and then, she's a lot more verbose these days. This is a pretty stripped back song. There's not that many lines and you know, I think about the way that she's grown as a songwriter. For you, when you first heard her and heard the way that she composed, was it influential to you when you were thinking about your own songwriting and coming into that world and telling your stories through song?
Definitely. I think it actually reinvigorated me, because I'd grown up on Billy Bragg and that sort of sound, which was quite simplistic from that record. And I was trying to do all this other crap, you know, at the time. I remember I did 1 year at Whopper over here, and it was getting kind of pulled away with all of that stuff. And, you know, just I was just getting all a bit much. And then when I heard that song, it brought back that core of songwriting for me and reminded me of where I came from musically in my DNA and those sorts of things. So, oh, it was such an influence on me then. And her journey as well has been such an influence. And it's just so beautiful to know where she's come from in that sense. Thank you.
You're a songwriter. You spent a year at WAPA, which is like the performing arts school in WA. And certainly the first time I saw you both playing in your old band Boat Show, but also your solo show in particular, I was just like, Jesus, this is like a cabaret show. She's got it all, you know. It felt like a true performance, you know, on every level. You were doing stand-up. There were so many different styles of music that you were trading in. And I guess as someone who's being incredibly personal with their songwriting but also being an entertainer, do you find it that a tightrope in walking on how much you show of yourself and how much you are entertaining, how much you're up on stage and, you know, you got your show business face on?
Totally. I think for me is that the whole thing around being entertaining is that I wrote such heavy songs to come straight out of the gates with, like Boys Will Be Boys. And I guess for me personally, I like to find a balance between serious and funny and those sorts of things. So for me, it was just the light to kind of counteract the shade that I was providing in some of the songs. And so that was kind of my survival technique as well, just for my own benefit, is making people knowing I came off stage having made people laugh, not just cry and feel miserable. It was really important to me.
Scrape yourself off the floor after a Stella Donnelly show.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted people to come back, for God's sake.
Anybody who's ever seen you live always comes back. Oh, I can attest to that.
Thank you.
Again, I'll tell your wife and your kids about that time. 'Cause this is not 93. You lost your spot on the team. You're out of line. Oh.
And we are going to be heading to Wales now, and the frankly, heavenly sounds of the Morriston Orpheus Choir. Tell me about this choir.
So I grew up in Morriston, which is called Trefores in Welsh, and it just so happened that this is the version. I went to find the version of Hiraeth, which is the song we're going to play, and this was the best one. It just sounded so beautiful, and it was just luck of the draw that it happened to be the Morriston Orpheus Choir. So this song is a hymn, and it's been sung by many, many choirs, and it was sung by myself in chapel when I was a child. And Hiraeth is an amazing word. It's not really translatable in English, but it's essentially connection to country and a sense of longing for a place that may not have even existed or that no longer exists. So it's definitely a Welsh connection that I'm sure a lot of Welsh people who live now in Australia and around the world certainly feel for their home and for the mountains and the valleys. And it's a heartbreaking word, really, but it's beautiful.
Where you grew up in Wales when you were a little kid, what did you see around you? What did it look like?
It was green. It was mountainous, winding, full of history and castles and language and a whole different, you know, for me it was just a whole different universe because I was speaking in a different language and eating such different food that had such connection to that language. And yeah, it's such a powerful, deep place. I'm sure that a lot of people feel the same, even if they haven't spoken the language. But my family have a very, very strong connection to that culture.
Does Wales flow you through your music today? Those experiences as a little kid and, you know, your Welsh blood, does that make its way into music, your music that you make today?
I certainly hope so. I'm not sure if there's a direct link. I mean, I was listening to Catatonia, which is a Welsh pop band from the 90s when I was a kid. 'Cause you and I know it's all over the friends page. You give me road rage, racing to the Curtis Matthews, who's was the lead singer, she wrote amazing lyrics and found really sweet ways of saying really, you know, dark things. So yeah, I think I definitely had that connection. I was going to choose one of their songs, but I think at the core of it, this sort of music made me feel like I belonged to something very, very deep. And the lyrics you know, derfydd awr a derfydd arian, you know, money fades and gold fades and silver fades, and those things, but hiraeth never fades, and that feeling of longing will never fade from your heart. So it's pretty special.
Can we just have Stella Donnelly speak Welsh to us for the rest of the morning? Like, I'm here for that.
This next song is Spells by Jenny Havahl.
And that, yeah, just such a gorgeous song from Jenny Havahl. Why did you choose it? I'm so curious about how this makes you feel, like you've got a sense of belonging.
This song is purely like a guttural musical belonging. I heard it. I think Evelyn Ida Morris played it on a radio station here in Perth once. And this is one of the songs that I can just play on repeat. It's whether it's like the fading in drums or the weird dissonant sax and then just this massive pop banger chorus from someone who I loved listening to as an experimental and more poetry-based artist. For her to come out with this banger, it just made my life. And I was on a flight from Perth to New York, and I just listened to this on repeat for the whole flight. And I've danced around the kitchen in my undies just so much to this song. It's just, I don't know, I just belong in it. I don't know. Yeah, it's a hard one to explain, really, but it's just a really good song.
Music can come at us at certain times in our lives, and I find for myself that there's certain songs that I heard when I heard them for the first time, there was no sort of sense of connection, and yet years later, because of my experiences or my age or just the place I was at that moment, it just all of a sudden clicked. Is that something that's happened to you where you've rediscovered things that have come years before and they've just made sense at that moment, that you've found the home that they've provided at the time that you've needed it most?
Absolutely. And I think Billy Bragg and those artists are that for me. It's like that years later, it all makes sense. It comes full circle. And but this song was just the one I heard for the first time and just needed to have around me. And I think people who have come to my house are a bit over it because I've just constantly got the record on and they're just like, okay, we can listen to something else now. Yeah, she's just amazing. Yeah.
It sounds like a cloud as well, doesn't it? Literally, it sounds like you're being enveloped in this music when it plays.
Totally, totally. It's just, it's such a journey, and it's sad at the same time as being really joyous. And it's, you know, the lyrics, "We will not be awake for long," is, you know, it's a pretty heavy lyric, but I think she finds a way to make it really jovial and joyous, and it's pretty cool.
I was looking back into your social media because I'm a creep, but also it's research. And I was scrolling through your Twitter feed and I guess just kind of thinking, you know, what's Stella been doing of late? And of course, we saw you on the biggest stage year round at the AFL Grand Final just a few weeks ago, which, first of all, what was the view like from where you were in that beautiful stadium in Perth?
That was surreal. I certainly didn't feel like I belonged at that bloody place.
Oh, you
did. That
was insane. You 100% belonged.
That was insane. Given I'd just come out of like lockdown in Melbourne and 2 weeks quarantine, and that was what I went into 2 days later, I don't think my ass relaxed for another 3 hours after that performance.
An ass clenching performance.
Yeah.
At the AFL Grand Final.
Yeah, it was surreal. And an ass clenching game at that. So, you know, it was a good time.
Yeah, as the partner of a long suffering Melbourne Demons fan, I'm just glad it ended the way it was, because it was a pretty rough half time, I tell you what. It was very quiet
absolutely.
At our house.
Oh, awful. Awful.
But when I was scrolling even further back to, you know, late 2019, I saw you tweet something about the fact that in the last year you had basically been away from home touring for 73% of the year. And to have released Beware of the Dogs in 2019 and played shows before and after that was launched all over the world. And then come back home, and in the last 2 years, you've lived in other cities. You've been in Melbourne, but you've also spent a large portion of the pandemic at home in Perth. In terms of belonging, what's it been like for you to sit so still in these other homes that you have and be so different to what 2019 was?
It's such a good segue into the next song, because the last song is Seabird by the Alessi Brothers, and that song is a love song for me and my partner, Marcel.
There's a road I know I must go, even though I tell myself that road is closed.
You know, we met in the midst of all of that touring. I supported Rolling Blackout's Coastal Fever, his band, in Europe, and we fell in love. And then it was just this, you know, we spent 3 months apart and catch up for 3 days and vice versa. It was just this whole crazy thing happening. And then COVID hit, and now we can't wait to get away from each other. I'll tell you that much.
Really tested relationships, didn't it? Those lockdowns.
Lockdown's like the fart under the blanket, and some people just can't, you know. Some people, sorry, so I've just talked about butts and farts.
I'm here for it.
This is Double J. This is the ABC.
We're all class. We're not really.
Yeah.
Bring on the Dutch oven talk, I say.
Yeah. And yeah, so, you know, this Seabird song was our love song, and you know, I'd listen to it whenever, you know, it was just, I listened to it on the plane and my ovaries would tingle, and you know, we'd miss each other and all of that, and it has still remained to be our song, and it made me feel like I belonged and we belonged together in that way. Oh my god, it's so gross. But yeah, so that's the sense of belonging with the Alessi Brothers song. And but yeah, it's been very, very strange to settle down with Marcel in essentially a big country town, which is Fremantle. And, you know, I've learned to do things. I've learned to cook. I've learned to garden. I've learned to, you know, look after myself properly. So, you know, not all is lost, but definitely looking forward to getting out onto the road and missing each other again.
Sweet 70s sounds of Alessi Brothers. Isn't that beautiful? And the incandescent Stella Donnelly sharing it with you. Well, next time on The Take 5, you're going to be treated to an absolute living legend. Fran Kelly. Yeah, longtime host of RN Breakfast, feminist, one-time band member of Toxic Shock. And as she hangs up her headphones after 17 years on one of Australia's biggest breakfast shows, she's taking 5 with her life so far. And she'll be telling you the stories behind the scenes of one of our most celebrated journalists. Fran Kelly takes 5 with you next time.
Take 5!
The Take 5 with Zan Rowe. Every week, hear the people you love.
Hi, I'm Joan Jett.
Hey, this is Nana Cherry.
And I'm taking 5.
Talk about the 5 songs they love. Hear stories of discovery.
And I heard this thing coming out of the speakers. I was like, oh my God, what is that noise? Wow.
And the songs that changed how they saw the world.
It just affected me deeply. I never knew rap could be that powerful.
It's like a jungle. Join Zan Rowe and Take 5.
Life 101 with Kimber and Zan.
Pull up a chair.
Subscribe now.